I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about summer fun in Indianapolis. We're going to explore ideas for a satisfying staycation, a fun night out, or a pleasant way to spend a rainy day. We're going to talk about where to go to hear some great live music, or just to take a soothing summer walk. I'll be joined for this discussion by three guests: Bob Witt, the Executive Director of White River State Park, Jen Pittman, Indy Park's Deputy Director, and Christina Euland, who's here with WFYI and PBS's Kids in the Park. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about summer fun in Indianapolis. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests today are Bob Witt with the White River State Park. Bob, welcome to the program.
Great to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Maureen Fall, who is stepping in for Jen Pittman. I know we'd announced Jen Pittman a minute ago. Maureen, welcome to the program. She's with Indy Parks.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here.
It's good to have you here. And from just down the hall, Christina Euland, who is with WFYI and PBS Kids in the Park. I suspect I know what we're going to talk about, but welcome to the program, Christina.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. It's good to have you here. Well, let's start just to create a nice little spirit for this conversation. We got a beautiful day outside right now, just absolutely gorgeous. Give me an idea of a great way somewhere in your area to spend this day. I'll start with you, Bob.
Well, thank you. I just left the park, and there were lots of folks out running, walking, some folks having a picnic. And you know, a day like this, a picnic kind of comes to mind first for me. To just put together a great lunch, maybe stop at Goose the Market and pick up some of their fantastic sandwiches, and head down to the park, bring a frisbee, football, whatever, and just enjoy some time outside.
Maureen, how about you? What's your idea of a great day for today?
Oh gosh, when you think about Indy Parks and great days, that's what we hope for the whole summer. We absolutely have one in today, and I can give hundreds of suggestions, but I'll give a few. All of our outdoor pools are now open, very reasonably priced swimming lessons available. We have 13 golf courses available for public play. Again, biking the Monon, running through Eagle Creek, Go Ape out of Eagle Creek, the zip line. If folks haven't tried that, that's a really great experience.
And Christina, I guess actually I'll let you pitch. Start with the promote. We've got the Kids in the Park event coming up this weekend.
That's so right, John. We are so excited to announce our 20th year of PBS Kids in the Park. It's a great celebration for families, centered around the great PBS Kids characters, maybe that you've grown up with, and a new host of characters that kids are growing up with today. Now, today is not June 15th. So you can't go to PBS Kids in the Park today. But if today were June 15th, that is absolutely something that you could do. And we'll talk more about all the fun activities coming up.
Well, tell
me
a little bit about the genesis of Kids in the Park. You say this is the 20th anniversary.
This is the 20th year for the celebration. It started in the early 90s, and when WFYI...
We can test our math skills and go back.
That's right. When WFYI was located at 14th and Meridian, it was a couple of tents in the parking lot, and we said, well, let's invite folks who enjoy this PBS Kids programming to come down and meet a couple of costume characters, and we'll have, you know, kind of a parking lot picnic and so many more people came than they expected that the next year they moved it to a park setting so they could accommodate many more families in. Today we have estimates of upwards of 30,000 people that come through the park in the course of the one-day festival.
And we probably ought to identify where that park
is. That's right. That's right. This year it will be at Military Park at White River State Park. Bob, thank you so much for hosting.
We're very happy to host.
And it's PBS Kids in the Park is presented this year by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It's a free admission festival, so all you have to do is find parking and head on in to Military Park. It's located at the corner of New York Street and West Street, so you probably drive by it all the time and see different activities set up there, but we'd love to have everyone come out and join us.
And if they want to, I'm going to try, since people plan, if people want to go to this, where do they go to get the information? Is there URL that
Oh, absolutely. You can go to wfyi.org, and it's /KIP for Kids in Park. We'll take you directly to all of the event information. Folks can get information on which PBS Kids characters will be there. Of course, we're excited to host Super Grover, not just regular Grover, but Super Grover, complete with the cape. This year is one of the big characters who will be in attendance, as well as Daniel Tiger from the new Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is a spinoff of the old Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. That we grew up with, and about 15 other costume characters will be there. The event starts at 10 a.m. with a parade of all of the characters and goes on throughout the day. We have three stages of kid family-friendly acts headlined by Selena from Sesame Street, as well as Curious George and lots of other musical acts and singing, and we're focusing on healthy kids this year. So we'll allow or encourage kids to take a pledge, a healthy kids pledge that's eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables, watching up to 2 hours of quality television, having at least 1 hour of active play, and having 0 sugary drinks for the day. And kids who take that pledge will receive a free backpack, the first 2,000 kids to do that.
We are talking about summer fun in Indianapolis here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, that's one event we've got going, and we have a heavy parks representation here, but I would think that summer for parks is a little bit like November and December in the jewelry business. I mean, and this is the period when you have your greatest activity, greatest stresses. You have a lot of marquee events and things that people are doing. I know White River State Park, you both have concert series, if I'm not mistaken. Bob, why don't you talk about your concert series? You were telling me just before we went on the air that you had a big get.
Yes, indeed. This is our 10th season. And it has grown phenomenally. The Farm Bureau Insurance Lawn at White River State Park has hosted many top acts over the years, and this year is no exception. We've already had 2 concerts, and coming up...
Who came for the 2?
Well, we had... the first one was Of Monsters and Men, which is a young alternative act, very, very successful. And then the second was Kendrick Lamar, a hip-hop artist. But coming up, the rest of the lineup, we've got Peter Frampton with Robert Cray, OAR, Ed Sheeran with Cher Lloyd, Three Doors Down with Daughtry, The Black Crows with Tedeschi Trucks Band, Humphreys McGee with Sound Tribe Sector 9, Carly Rae Jepsen, An Evening with Chicago and the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, Imagine Dragons, and then 2 shows we're just announcing, Sigur Rós, which is a very eclectic band out of Iceland, and the Lumineers, which is we're very excited. We've been trying to get this show for some time, and finally we're able to land it, and we're very excited.
What was the genesis of this concert series? I mean, what prompted you to?
The area of the park, the southern part of White River State Park, was developed in the early 90s, and then just a number of ideas were kind of thrown out. How can we make use of this space? It was designed as kind of a performance space. We've hosted all sorts of different performances there, but there was a real desire to create a more intimate place for folks to play, for artists to play outside. Obviously, we've got the giant amphitheater, great amphitheater up in Noblesville, Klipsch Music Center. But something that's a smaller, you know, the music business has changed in many ways. The number of acts that can fill a giant amphitheater are fewer and fewer, but there are many, many more very interesting, very talented acts that are in that mid-range. And our capacity is, depending on our configuration, we have different configurations for different shows, is 6,000 to up to maybe 7,500. There are so many acts that just fit so well into that niche. And the artists love to play in that atmosphere. The sound, because there are no walls, is virtually perfect when we dial it in just so. The artists enjoy it, and the attendees just think it's a fantastic experience.
If people want to go, how do they go about that?
Well, any of the activities at White River State Park, you can get on our website, which is whiteriverstatepark.org. Get any information. You can link to any of our attractions, including the lawn.
And I presume, obviously, they buy tickets
yes,
all of that. How do you go about choosing what the acts will be? I mean, there's a plan. Like, I listen to the lineup here, and I'm thinking, okay, that demographic group's been taken care of. Is there a balancing act that goes there?
That's definitely part of the equation. We try and reach out to as many different genres and as many different demographics of attendees as possible. We want to spread the word about the park. You know, it's still a relatively new park. And I walk amongst the crowd quite often, and it's amazing how many times I hear people say, "Wow, I had no idea all this stuff was down here." They come down for a concert, and they see, and hopefully we'll get to it, that there are so many different attractions at White River State Park. For people who haven't been down there, it's hard to really understand the breadth of what we have to offer.
We are talking about summer fun in Indianapolis. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can shoot us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, Maureen, you've got a summer concert series as well. It's a different kind of animal, though.
Yes. Indy Parks has a long tradition of music in the neighborhood parks, and that has continued again in the summer concert series of 2013. The majority of our events are free to the public and in local parks, and we do have an extensive list. It would be probably 70 shows deep for me to list today, so I would encourage people as well.
Give them the URL.
To go to indy.gov/concerts, and I can actually highlight what's happening this week for free. Tomorrow evening we have Jazz of the Point out at Eagle Creek Park. Thursday, there's two free concerts, one at the McAllister Amphitheater at Garfield Park and one at Holiday Park. Friday night, Broad Ripple, we have a Listen Local act, and Saturday night at Irvington Artists will be at the Ellenberger Park. And Sunday, we have Country out at Cranert Park. So there's a numerous event list that can be, again, checked by what you're interested in, the genre that you enjoy, and the date that works for you and the location. We encourage people to actually go out to another park that maybe they've never explored and enjoy some live free music. Now, we do have a few events that are ticketed events that we're actually excited about adding to the list as well, and that is a full day out at Garfield Park, a Recycle Fest. It's the first year that we're trying this. It will be an all-day music and recycling awareness event. It will be July 27th. Again, all of this can be on the website. It is on the website.
And that's a ticketed event, so that if people want to come to it, do they have to bring is the recycling part of the price of admission?
It is not a part of the admission. The admission is $15, They can go on our website and get a discount with using the promo code for PARKS, just P-A-R-K-S, for a $10 ticket. And actually, I don't know how you can even buy lunch for 10 bucks anymore. It's 9 bands and 10 hours from noon to 10 p.m. on July 27th. So that's probably the best deal you can find in town.
It's wide open. How about, tell me in just a few seconds about the Listen Local initiative. I thought that was fascinating. And is that a deliberate attempt to try to foster an environment for local musicians?
Yes, John. It's a little bit different model. It's new to a lot of us. It's called Pay What You Want. And it seems to be very popular with the 20-somethings. We're offering in the Broad Ripple Park a series of 6 events that are more or less alternative and local.
Yeah, you won't find any 20-somethings there.
And and the young people want to get involved, and they want their ticket price to sort of help. So they're putting it towards the Indy Parks Foundation. That's what the price of their ticket goes directly to.
We are talking about summer fun in Indy. My guests are Bob Witt of White River State Park, Maureen Fall of Indy Parks, and Christina Euland of WFYI. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about summer fun in Indy. My guests are Bob Witt of White River State Park, Maureen Fall of Indy Parks, and Christina Euland of our shop here at WFYI. Just before we went to the break, Maureen was talking about a big event Indy Parks has got going, Recycle Fest, right? But you mentioned something that is a factor in really all of the events here, in that the new date for Recycle Fest is July 27th, if I recall correctly.
We're recycling the date.
Recycling the date, but originally it was planned for June 9th, right?
No, June the 1st.
June the 1st, okay. So I'm assuming, you throw massive amounts of effort at a lot of these things, and then if the skies open up, you know, Bob, in your case as well, if you bring one of these acts in and, you know, it's pretty much flood stage out there, what do you do?
Well, we've had it happen on just a few occasions. We've been very fortunate in that regard. But I remember one case, Crosby, Stills, Nash concert. Storms were coming in. We were actually able in the artist's schedule to transfer that show to the next night. That's not possible very often. When Arcade Fire played here, the forecast was looking very, very dire. We moved that show actually up to the Pepsi Coliseum at the State Fair. Last year we had a show, Cake, was the artist, and again, bad forecast, we moved that show up to Clips Music Center. So we make changes where possible, and there are situations where there's a pop-up kind of storm that comes up. In those situations, we have very, very rarely evacuated for a short period of time and then brought folks back.
Did the State Fair disaster really change the mindset on a lot of that stuff? Are you all quicker to cancel now? I'll start with you, Bob.
I wouldn't say that. We following that tragedy, which was obviously very, very sad, we went through all of our emergency planning, all of our procedures, and we did not make any changes to the way we had always approached these things. So it definitely put it maybe a little bit more front of mind, but our procedures stayed in place, and we're very confident in them.
Maureen, did it change the way, you actually have so many more events here that I would think monitoring all of that has got to be a challenge too.
Well, it's certainly a challenge, and we look for safety first is our priority, as many of our events are weather demand, and we certainly don't want to put any of the guests at risk. And it's similar to how we would operate our other properties, say our outdoor swimming pools.
Yeah, where you got to close it if there's
thunder or lightning. We're very accustomed to this, and safety is the main priority of all of our guests wherever they are, whether they be at Eagle Creek Beach. We're watching the skies. I don't know that we're quicker to cancel. We try to act accordingly, as Bob said, that we've got we've had the chance where we moved part of a show, actually part of Recycle Fest, went over to Fountain Square, and two of the artists were able to stay on that night and fulfill their contractual agreement. And then other things are going to have to change because dates move around and bands aren't always available. So we do what we can to promise and deliver the product that we say we will. But certainly safety is the utmost priority.
We are talking about summer fun here in Indianapolis on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or as this listener named Heather did, you can connect with us through Facebook at WFYI. And she sent us a note saying, we spend a lot of time at state parks enjoying the natural outdoors along the canals in downtown Indy on Lake Monroe, not in Indy. And at many parks, Indy has from north to south. So there's an awful lot. And we tend, that's probably the kind of thing that you love to hear, is that people are out there using it. The mythology from our end, and it, you know, I'm not in the parks business, I'm a consumer of your services, is that, you know, summer is just this wonderful carefree time, and that, you know, when I go to the park or whatever, I want to get away from all of the worries. For you guys, it's sort of the opposite experience. I'm going to start first with Christina, because with all of these events, they require a tremendous amount of planning. You got a lot of logistics to work out. Summer's not quite as carefree for you guys as it is for the rest of us. Christina, when do you start planning for kids in the park? Is it
plan year-round for all of our events here at WFYI. Because we have so many PBS Kids characters in attendance, and because those the resources for those characters are in high demand around the country, we reserve the character appearances a year in advance once we are able to nail down the date with Bob and his folks.
So you will start like next Monday planning for next year's event, or have you started already?
We have started already with the sort of the foundation for the event. But the thing is, we enjoy this, particularly this Kids in the Park event every year is our best chance to connect face-to-face with the families and the kids and the people who love WFYI. So we're thrilled to be able to host it every year. We are so grateful to our sponsors like Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield for helping us keep the admission cost to nothing for folks to come. And it's so much work going into it. At the end of the day, without fail, for over 10 years, everyone involved with the event has said it's definitely worth it. We definitely want to do it again.
How about Maureen, in terms of I mean, I'll reshift the question a little bit. When you start planning for the summer, what goals do you have? I mean, what do you say is going to be a great summer season for Indy Parks?
Well, ultimately, I believe that the planning of events is kind of divided into different areas. As we've touched on, you know, we have the concerts, mm-hmm. and those are sort of under the purview of our new arts and events manager. And that is sort of his baby to grow into something new. And I know that a lot of the focus for him and his people has been to bring new events and think outside the box for what it is that people are looking to get out and do in parks. And actually, I forgot to mention, and I wanted to give a little mention to one of the new ideas that we've tried now, two nights. Down at Garfield Park on First Fridays, mm-hmm. we are hosting bike-in movies instead of drive-in movies. And we have a large screen that we put out in the lawn, and people are biking down to the park, and we have food trucks come in, and Sun King Brewery.
Which was last week's show. But
yes.
That's
actually, we're doing it every first Friday, so there's three events left.
Yeah.
July 5th, August 2nd, and September the 6th.
Oh, no, my reference was we did a show on food. Food trucks.
Oh, you did food trucks.
Yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
And we'll have food trucks at PBS Kids in the Park, too.
Yeah, those are very popular. Yeah. Everyone likes those. And we're excited about that. And it's been going well and growing every week. So we had a little bit of weather challenge in May. Mm-hmm. And it went beautifully last Friday. We showed The Goonies. We've sort of picked a selection of 80s cult classics. Christmas in July is going to be A Christmas Story. And then August 2nd, we'll have Spaceballs. And September the 6th, Ghostbusters, my personal favorite.
So why did you choose the 80s theme?
I have no idea.
No
I didn't choose that.
No idea. Well,
it's, that was our fantastic and phenomenal new arts manager, Ben Rowe.
So the 80s are to this decade what the 50s were to the 80s. That I
golden
guess,
age of cinema.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. Well, and Bob, when do you guys start planning for summer 2014, presumably?
It's definitely year-round, and in some cases even more than that in advance. We wish that every event, and we host hundreds of events, we wish that everyone were as well organized as PBS Kids in the Park is. Mm-hmm. But we have lots and lots of folks who are, it's a first-time event for them. And so they really need to be, their hands need to be held through the entire planning process. We do a lot of weddings. Mm-hmm. So these are folks, in many cases, who have never planned an event. And it's lots and lots of planning. A lot of it is just the scheduling, because, we have 250 acres, but in terms of actual event spaces, there's a finite number. So a lot of it is kind of shuffling. I think we have a week from Saturday, we have, I believe, 4 weddings on that day. So it's a lot of moving pieces.
In terms of planning a wedding there, do you have somebody who serves as sort of your wedding coordinator then, who's the contact person at the park, or is that?
I wish we could afford a full-time wedding planner. We do have events staff. Who do this? They do the booking and then work with the events as they're coming up. And in many cases, after an event, if there are things that we want to have them work on, we will have meetings immediately thereafter. So it's fresh in mind and discuss improvements that we would suggest or demand in some mm-hmm. cases for the people to have. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention all of the different attractions. They also do events independently as well. As an example, the zoo this Friday, their big event of the year, Zoobilation, is Friday night. And our folks help out with that, but they do a fantastic job.
So it's a big weekend for you guys with the kids in the park and then
very big weekend. Yes, absolutely.
And very kid-friendly on both ends. So, yeah, it's a focus. We are talking about summer fun in Indianapolis here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Bob, I'm going to stay with you for a second. Let's assume somebody is new to Indianapolis and they want to get an idea of what White River State Park has to offer. Where should they start?
Well, a great place to start is on our website, certainly, whiteriverstatepark.org. If they want to do so in person, we do have a visitor center, which has kind of become the visitor center of downtown Indianapolis, and located right there off of Washington Street. And come in, and we've got a staff there that can tell you about all the different activities at the park. And I can just run down them quickly. The Indianapolis Zoo, White River Gardens, Victory Field, where the Indianapolis Indians play, the Idle Droid Museum of Native American and Western Art, the Indiana State Museum, and inside there, of course, we've got the IMAX Theater, then the NCAA Hall of Champions. We have the lawn at White River State Park, our concert venue, lots and lots of great green spaces, including Military Park, where PBS Kids in the Park is held, many other great spaces, and then we have Segway tours. If you want to get a great overview of the park, going on one of our Segway tours, which are very, very popular, would be a great way to do that, as well as another option would be to rent a bicycle. We rent bicycles and surreys. If you're down on the canal level, you can rent kayaks, you can rent pedal boats. So there's lots of great ways to get out and about and explore White River State Park.
And Maureen, I'm going to ask you a tough question, because it's sort of, I'm going to ask you in effect to pick among your children here. But if you're new to the city and you want to get a sense of what Indy Parks has to offer, which park should you go to first, and what should you do there?
Well, I think the obvious park that everyone thinks of immediately is our gem, which is Eagle Creek Park. with 5,000 acres, there's so much to do at that actual park that you can please almost everybody who drives in. It's obviously the reservoir is the main focal point, so there's boating and fishing and canoeing and kayaking, but then just the nature aspect of it. It's so close to downtown Indianapolis, and yet once you're out there, you can get lost in the woods if you're out hiking and birding and just getting away from it all. I would say that a first-time Indianapolis new resident would certainly need to check out that park for sure. But then there's lots of small little pocket parks and neighborhood places to explore that are interesting, and I love Garfield Park, the conservatory, the rich history of Garfield. I just think that exploring every place you can go throughout the city is what I would do. I would get on Google and just search all of our parks, and whatever you live closest to is one thing, but maybe at lunch when you're at work and you want to take a lunch and just get away from everything, go find a park that maybe nobody really talks much about, but it's right around the corner from your office.
I'm going to stay with you for a second, Maureen, and on that theme, what is an undiscovered gem? I mean, Eagle Creek Park and all of that, they're big spectacles, but one that you think, because you know the parks very, very well, that more people ought to use but for whatever reason don't. And it would be a great place just to go and have a very satisfying experience.
Probably, I think Holiday Park is a nice little park. It's about 95 acres. Mm-hmm. It has a beautiful new nature center.
Probably, I know where Holiday Park is, but we probably ought to tell people where
it's
that is.
It's 6363 Spring Mill Road. And I think what I prefer about that location is it's, again, you know, it's right off of Meridian, but then when you're in there and you're down by the river, walking your dogs or hiking with your spouse or your best friend or just alone time out, it's so nice because it just takes you away. There's just enough of that nature that even though you're in the urban area and you're in neighborhoods, it's very peaceful. And I do believe the Nature Center is something that children should get inside and explore. I mean, we also have nature centers at other parks. Eagle Creek has a fabulous nature center as well. Actually, we have two in Eagle Creek. But as far as a neighborhood location, the Holiday Park is a great park. We have a beautiful playground there that's always very busy and safe, and the kids enjoy very much.
Bob, the same question for you. At White River State Park, what's an undiscovered gem? The thing that is out there you think is fabulous, just not enough people go to.
Well, my favorite hidden gem is called the River Promenade, and it's over on the west side of the river. It's between the river and the zoo, and it's lined with trees and walls of Indiana limestone. Just giant chunks of Indiana limestone, and along there are depictions of where Indiana limestone is used around the country. Places like and it's carved right into the stone. The Empire State Building in New York City, the National Cathedral and the National Capitol Buildings in Washington, D.C. And it's just a beautiful, tranquil, kind of meandering walk. And it really feels so special. And then just over those walls are animal areas of the zoo. So it's just got a great feel to it.
I remember years ago when I was still doing triathlons, that would be one of our training runs. We'd go along the promenade there after running past there. And I don't know if this is still the case, but and perhaps I should not share this story over the radio, but I remember there would be times there was a gate there that would get closed at certain hours, and of course we did not want to turn around and have to run all the way back and add to the mileage. So we'd speculate as to how much trouble we were going to get into by climbing over the fence and continuing to run, which is what we did. We are talking about summer fun in Indy here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about summer fun in Indianapolis. My guests are Bob Witt of White River State Park, Maureen Fall with Indy Parks, and Christina Euland, who is with WFYI and is here talking about PBS's Kids in the Park, which is this Saturday. We were talking just before the break about kind of undiscovered gems and all of that. I'd like to get some ideas. Suppose I want to do a staycation here in Indy, a long weekend where I, you know, maybe I'm going to take Friday and Monday off and all of that. Help me plan my weekend. I'll start with you, Christina. Yeah, I'm assuming we'll go with this weekend so you can sneak in Kids in the Park. But
absolutely. We actually have a number of families who have chosen to stay downtown at one of the downtown hotels. Primarily, we have guests staying at the Hilton Garden Inn downtown, and they will do a family activity the night before PBS Kids in the Park. That's a sort of a benefit of our family membership package, and then they'll be right downtown in the morning to get started bright and early at PBS Kids in the Park at 10 a.m. with the parade of characters. So, and there are lots of things to do throughout the day. There's certainly probably more to do at that event than you can plan to do in one trip. So I would recommend that folks go online in advance of the event. It's wfyi.org/KIP and decide which attractions your children or your family would be most interested in and plan your day accordingly.
What character is the one that, you know, draws the largest crowd, and what's one that might be a little easier?
You know what's interesting? For folks who grew up on PBS Kids but are now parents themselves, It's always the Sesame Street characters that are the most popular, and they want to see Super Grover. This year is our big PBS Kids character. But kids who are growing up today, they know Sesame Street and they like Sesame Street, but they're all kinds of newer characters. Super Y comes to mind. He's big on reading. He's a great character. Sid the Science Kid promotes great lessons in science and how science can lead to all kinds of adventures in your life. So those are some newer PBS Kids characters that are very popular with the younger kids. And then, of course, their parents are really interested in seeing their favorites. We actually have Mr. McFeely. He's not a costume character. He is the Mr. McFeely live person. Will be doing a meet and greet and signing autographs for folks. And if you're my age, you remember when Mr. McFeely would come by with his speedy deliveries to Mr. Rogers' house in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. So we have, like I said, 16 characters, and some will be newer to parents and families, maybe grandparents, and but very well known to the kids.
And I will Bob, give you the same question. Help me plan a staycation here. Give me 3 or 4 days of activities.
Well, you know, the thing about White River State Park, depending on what one's interests are, there's something for everyone. So whether it's a family or a group of any size, White River State Park has so many different options. There are some great ways to get some economies. We have packages, which are a few of the attractions together in a ticket pass kind of package. Or if you want to go all in, shall we say, the park pass allows you to have access to all of the attractions for the entire calendar year. You get access to each of the attractions for an entire calendar year, one admission to each one. And so with that, folks could have all sorts of different options and come back multiple times to the park. Oftentimes when people are here and they come in for a weekend, we advise to do one of the smaller packages, which is generally three or four attractions bundled together at a discount rate.
And Maureen, I'll go with the same question for you. Help me using nothing but Indy Parks, and then I'll give you guys a chance to branch out and give a shout out for some other city attractions that you might like in the future. But at Indy Parks, say I've got Friday to Monday, and I just want to fill the days with things that are going to be relaxing and pleasant, so that I can stop worrying about work and all of the other stuff.
Oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
We can go to a concert starting Friday night for free in Broad Ripple, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. The Listen Local series will continue with Art, Adam's Band, and the Tsunamis. That's free. Pay what you want, as we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. So the donation that you make would go directly to the Indy Parks Foundation, and that is going to help us build our parks, improve our parks, and it's giving directly to something that those folks believe in. I could also recommend for the rest of your staycation weekend that whether grandma and grandpa are in town for the weekend, or brother from out of town, or even your children, you can take the entire clan out to golf. We have driving ranges, we have golf courses for all levels of play. There are pros at every one of our 13 golf courses. Certainly reasonable greens fees and beautiful courses to explore and play. So that could handle all of Saturday. So if you're not too tired from the Friday night concert in Broad Ripple, you could golf all day Saturday or golf on Sunday. We have 15 outdoor swimming facilities and our aquatic centers. So Sunday could be a day of swimming. If you want to be in a pool, we have pools. If you want to be at the beach, we have a beach. You can go out to Eagle Creek on Sunday as well. Eagle Creek Park has a swimming beach. We have a huge floatable slide that's out in the water. There are playgrounds near the beach as well when the children are tired of the water and they maybe need to dry off and unwrinkle for a little while. That would be Sunday. Are we still talking about Monday off?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking for a chance to get away from work here, Maureen.
That's 3 days. If you're still not completely exhausted, you could either go back to Eagle Creek and do the Go Ape zip line as well. That has been hugely popular. It is a zip line unlike what you may have seen at the NFL Super Bowl week, because that was just sort of zip from point A to point B. Well, our Eagle Creek Go Ape zip line is 5 segments and involves a lot of rope climbing and pirates, ladders, and various things up amongst the trees and out in nature. And it is wildly popular, and people are doing it for college graduation gifts for themselves or their children. It's just been phenomenal as a partnership, and we're very excited about Go Apes.
How long has that been there?
1 year.
1 year?
Yes.
Because my children did something like it back east on a vacation mm-hmm. last year, and I noticed, I think they started over in Europe and kind of migrated across the ocean. We are talking about summer fun in Indianapolis. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, we've talked about a lot of really, really fun activities, and we kind of alluded to the fact that much as we wish it were otherwise, sometimes it rains during the summer. Give me a good idea for, you know, that might be park-related. Say I've got a house full of kids, and I just want to get them out of the house because they're driving each other crazy and have something to do. That it doesn't involve getting them soaked and sick. Bob Wynn.
Well, you know, it could be soaked, or it could be that it's very, very hot outside. Whatever, there are lots and lots of great indoor activities. At the Idlejorg, we've got Roundups to Rockers, which is a guitar exhibit, the whole history of guitar. You can listen to soundtracks of all these great, everything from Jimi Hendrix to really, really old guitars. You've also got at the zoo, in the gardens area, a butterfly kaleidoscope, 50,000 African butterflies just surround you. Phenomenal experience with that. The zoo obviously has the Dolphin Dome indoors, the Oceans exhibit indoors. State Museum has the Star Wars exhibit going on right now, and that is a fantastic collection of all the props, all the sets, and it's also very interactive for particularly for children. There are so many different hands-on kind of activities. You can build a car that operates by a magnet. All sorts of neat activities there. You also have the Lincolns exhibit there. 5 generations of an American family. That's through the entire summer. IMAX Theater, of course, is a great indoor attraction. Flight of the Butterflies, in collaboration with the zoo, is playing. And then we've got Great White Shark 3D as well. NCAA Hall of Champions, they have a Pioneers of Basketball exhibit that just opened, telling the whole history of basketball and its genesis. And then also the History of Women in Intercollegiate Athletics exhibit as well. So lots and lots of great indoor activities, air-conditioned indoor activities at White River State Park.
Maureen, help me out here. If it's a rainy day or, as Bob said, a really, really hot day, what do we do with an Indy
park? A really, really hot day. Hopefully they're in the pool. Mm-hmm. I would say for a rainy day, the new Earth Discovery Center out at Eagle Creek Park is probably where, if you get caught out and you're in the park and there is a pop-up storm, there's certainly facilities, and that's a beautiful building with interactive. There's reptiles and lots of displays for the children to learn about nature. We also have the Ornithology Center, so birding is very popular with some of the older set, but something that the children are very curious about birds, too, and different calls. And we have some we're waiting on a red-tailed falcon to be out there as well. And that's an interesting, you know, when you're out at Eagle Creek, you're not just stuck to outdoors. If the weather changes, there are buildings and facilities to duck into.
And other activities there. It's been a while. I used to actually, in the triathlon days I was talking about, used to do a lot of long runs out at Eagle Creek State Park. Is the Daniel Boone tree still standing out there?
Is it over by the Ornithology Center? Yeah, there's a large tree that's felled.
Yeah,
is that what you
and
mean?
There's a marking where there's a little sign up that says that it's not an actual Daniel Boone, but that supposedly he had killed a bear somewhere close to there, and one of his friends had marked the tree to commemorate it. Christina, in terms of kids in the park, I'm assuming that if you get rain on Saturday, knock on wood, so that you don't, the event doesn't necessarily get rescheduled. Are there still things people can do?
Oh, absolutely. We have, in my time at WFY several years, we have never had a complete rain out of PBS Kids. But most years, it's like Bob mentioned earlier, there will be a pop-up, you know, rain shower here and there. We've never had the event be completely canceled. So, you know, if it rains in the morning, sun always comes out in the afternoon, that sort of thing. But let's say, worst case scenario, you're not able to come out to the park for weather reasons or whatever other reasons. You can go through WFYI.org and you can link to, there's a whole section for parents about PBS Kids. There are so many great activities, both for indoor and outdoor, that are related to the curricula of the different PBS Kids shows. We like to say view, read, do. So you view the TV program, whether it's Sesame Street or Super Y, you read about it in one of the books or online, and then there are always activities with every single PBS Kids show that are recommended for parents for a number of age ranges. Some of them are arts and crafts related. Many of them are outdoors and discovery related. So I highly recommend going to pbskids.org and finding things to do on a rainy day.
What are the most difficult things about planning for the summer and for all of these events? Maureen, I'll throw that one to you first.
Probably the biggest challenge would be the rain. We don't like to say the R word in parks very much. It's an ugly word. Because you put the same amount of effort, sweat, tears, love, planning, phone calls, coordinating, and it is a huge disappointment. We have a lot of events that are held in parks that might be an organization that comes to us, say, for instance, a veterans group, and they want to have a large picnic out at Eagle Creek, and they'll plan for weeks, and we'll assist them as much as we can. And it's a big disappointment when the weather changes things. So I guess that would be the biggest challenge, is trying to make every weekend be sunny and 73.
What constitutes, I'm going to stay on that same theme, and I'm going to ask Bob the same question, but when you're looking back at the end of the season and, you know, you started closing the pools down and all of that sort of stuff, when you look back and say, what are the standards you do to decide whether, okay, we had a good summer season here. As parks, you know, we did our job. We provided people with the kind of experiences they want. What measures do you look at there?
Well, I would say our benchmarks would be offering variety for people so that it appeals to so many more ages and ranges instead of just niche. But at the same time, we are doing niche. As I've told you, the Listen Local series in Broderpool isn't necessarily going to appeal at all to a crowd that wants to hear Pops in the Park. But then we do offer Pops in the Park, and the Philharmonic will be playing at Garfield. So what we're trying to do is, it's kind of the impossible. We're trying to be all things to all people as best that we can under, you know.
You are the outdoor department store.
We are. And then yeah. people expect that we also can control the weather for that day, their day's event, whether it be a wedding reception at Eagle Creek or it be a giant, you know, event organized for a particular group and a picnic. So it's one of those things where we're trying to do as best we can with what we have. We have a lot to offer, and we work very, very hard at trying to please everybody that comes to us. We want to be our customer service and our is that is tied with our safety priority. While we're trying to be a safe place, we also want to be a fun place, and we want to be available and flexible and open to what people's needs are.
Bob, what's the hardest thing?
Well, I really try not to worry too much about the weather because I have no control over it. We have plans in place, but for us, I would say the logistics, the million details related to all the different events, that's the stuff that is, you know, keeps me thinking, keeps me waking up in the middle of the night. Oh, we've got to make sure that this is taken care of. There are just so many things. As Christina knows with her event, it's so many details that all need to be covered. Someone needs to make sure that each and everything is taken care of.
And we've got just a little bit of time left. So real quickly, Christina, if people want to get more information about Kids in the Park, URL again, where should they go?
WFYI.org, and you can navigate straight there from the homepage. But if you want to go directly to the Kids in the Park site, WFYI.org/KIP.
And Bob, real quickly, one event at White River State Park this summer people should not miss.
Well, I of course have to say WFYI, Kids in the Park.
That's right, Bob.
That's good. Well, all right, one other event then, so that it doesn't look so nakedly self-promotional.
I would say Dig In. Dig In, A Taste of Indiana. It's a fantastic event. This is our fourth year. It will sell out. It sold out last year. We bring over 30 chefs from around the state. The top chefs, match them with the top farmers, Indiana beers, Indiana wines. It's a fantastic day, and that's coming up on August 25th.
And Maureen Fall, 5 seconds.
We have another event, Warm Fest, which I didn't talk about, Labor Day weekend at Broderpool Park. But everything is at indy.gov/parks.
I'd like to thank all of you for spending this time with us. It's been fun talking with you. We will be back on Thursday. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alsett. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.